Good morning, everybody. Well, I don't have anything particular in mind this morning, but I do. Well, I'm lying right now as we speak, but I do have something in mind. You know, I've been going over Exodus quite a bit at home, and you know, going over it with the kids and everything like that. And there's this one part that I remember when we were going over on men's Bible study in Exodus, and that was in. It was Exodus 3, verse 5. And this was years ago that we did this in men's Bible study. And it was it's something that I remember. It's stuck with me. Especially when we went back over it, it was a really highlighted point. And it was something that Davey brought to men's Bible study one night. And it was very, very interesting. And it says, and he said, draw... And this is where Moses, where God appears to Moses and talks with him. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You know, and when you think of that, you don't think much of it until somebody points something out to you, isn't it? You just think, oh, where the Lord's is, it's holy ground, take off shoes. You know, there's a lot more in just that than I ever thought. And when it was brought to my attention, it was, no, you're going to be my servant, you're going to be my messenger, you're going to play by my rules. I mean, this was a direction of it's my way. Letting it go of all. You know, and we were talking the other night, Brad and I, it was Friday night, and it was an interesting concept that, you know, when we become the servant of God, I mean, what you have is, you have stages, just like you grow up, you know, as a kid, you're a child, you have to be absolutely taken care of, you just don't have a clue, you don't know how to do that, but then you grow into a servant, where you please your mother, you honor your mother and your father, or we should. And then there's another stage of God where it's like you become his friend. And Brad and I were talking about wondering why we are directed to do something. You know, he had a tendency to want to know why. You know what I mean? But when you become the Lord's servant and what that means, it's just, yes, sir, no problem. And then the Lord will show you why. As soon as you start to get no questions asked, you do, yes, sir, no problem. You don't need to know. You don't care, you don't need to know. But the Lord will start showing you why. But we really need to grasp on that thing of being his servant. It's an important aspect in the walk. I mean, you know, we take the scripture, and what does it say? Unless you take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. So let's not deceive ourselves and not doing this and still being his disciple. Not going to happen. I mean, it's really taking up your cross. That means laying everything down and being about doing thy will, O God, not mine. And what we had was, we had an example that we talked about, and that was, one was Elijah. Elijah, go and stand by the tree. Hang out by the tree till I tell you to go somewhere else. It was, yes, sir, no problem. And he went and did. And the birds fed him. He drank by the river that was right there. And the Lord took care of him. The Lord just took care of him. And you know, at that time, I don't know if Elijah knew why he was doing it. Except for the Lord went and told him to go do it. So Elijah went to go go do it. But when he walked away, I'm sure he knew why. The Lord was showing him to trust him. And that he could trust him. And then he had that, walked away with that confidence. The Lord's going to take care of me. I'm going to be about his business and I don't care. I mean, this is the guy who stood up against Ahab and 400 prophets and laughed at their God of Baal. And the Lord showed up mighty in that. And it was actually for the people. So they would turn from their wicked ways and serving Baal and serving the true living God. You know, but we need to really come to that place and decision of becoming His servant. And then He shows us why a lot of times. And I have many examples of that just in my own life. I mean, for example, the floor was one. You know, I went to go about to do a certain way and I didn't know why. They said, no, don't go do it this way, but go that way. Well, all right. Then when it was all said and done, it made perfect clarity to me. But the Lord's good. And what He's asking us to do is to put His trust in Him. You know, I was listening to the Gospels. And man, he was taking no, take no thought for the morrow take thoughts of the things of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's like, man, if you're about me and my business, I'm going to take care of you. And that's a freedom. It's such a freedom. You know, the Lord's good. And what He's asking us is just to trust and believe Him. Trust and believe Him. And be about His business. And He shows up. He shows up abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And you know, the other thing about Moses was when he went to go, you know, he went to the Lord and said, you know, I'm not, can't talk very well. Moses, am I not the God who created all things? Okay, all right. Well, I'll send your brother. You'll be seeing your brother soon. I'll talk to you, Moses. You talk to your brother. Well, the people of Israel aren't going to hear me. All right. Well, throw down your, you know, and I don't know if that's how the Lord was. I mean, that's just how I would be. So, you know, look, forgive me. But, all right, well, throw down your staff. And he throws down his staff. It turns into a serpent. Pick it up by the tail again. He picks it up by the tail. Turns into a staff. Put your hand in your bosom. Put his hand in his bosom. Brings it back out. Leprosy. Puts his hand in his bosom again. Brings it back out. Like brand new flesh. You know why? Why did the Lord do that? Well, one, Moses is God's messenger. The people needed to know that it is God's messenger. I mean, it's like, you know, somebody coming, hey, you know, I am bringing the word of the Lord. And you're going to be delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Really? Well, I ain't gone there yet, Polly. It's like, really? Show me. Okay. Staff turns into the serpent. Hand turns into leprosy. But, and then, what happens is, he goes and tells Pharaoh, let my people go so that we may worship our God in the mount. And Pharaoh says no. And he comes down harder on the Israelites. Says, you have idle time to talk about going up to serve your God on the mountain. We're not going to give you straw to make brick anymore. You make your own. You know, then they turn to Moses. What's going on? But in that whole thing, Moses already told him that Pharaoh is going to do this. Moses is going, Lord, what's going on? Ever since I came, they've just been beat even worse. But what does God do? God still reaffirms His promise and says, sit back and watch. Sit back and watch. I promised you this. And you are going to be talking about how you were delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And was it not talked about? I'm telling you, it's talked about in Psalms. It was a constant reminder of what the Lord did, because the Lord did bring them out of Egypt. And the Lord showed up. And that's with us as well. As crappy as it seems, as terrible as the situation is, as it seems like nothing is going on right, we can still hang on to that promise of God because it's sure and it's true and He's trustworthy and we can trust Him no matter what. And we can hang on to that. We can hang on to that. But you know what? We have a testimony in all of our lives how the Lord has touched us in some way. Each and every one of us has a testimony. I believe. I hope. If not, get one. Trust Him in something. Choose to be about Him and His business. Believe His Word. Try it. He'll show up. But even though we have all this, we can still fall into unbelief. You know, it talks about in Hebrews how the first generation that came from out of Egypt with all the signs and wonders and all the power of God that was revealed unto them still walked in unbelief. And because of that, they had to wait in that desert until the second generation came up to take the promised land that was promised to them. Let's not be that first generation, but the second. Amen. Let's not listen to that old man that is carnal and is in unbelief and is an enemy at God. Let's put that off and put on the new man that's yes and amen. And you know, you do that by a simple choice, by simply choosing Him. You know, we've been talking about, and I've said it many times, it's not we conform the Word to justify ourselves, but we conform ourselves under the Word. But really, us even doing that is nothing of on our part. You know? It's really just coming to the cross, coming to Jesus Christ, on your knees and saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. I have nothing to offer. There's nothing I can do that can make me worthy. There's nothing I did that proves me. There's nothing I can do that can make me accepted by You. Nothing at all. I have nothing. Lord, I'm just a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, because I don't have one. And what did He say? That's why I did it. That's why I went to the cross. Because it's nothing about what you've done or did or anything that makes you righteous. No. It's about what Jesus Christ did. About Him walking it out perfectly in obedience. About Him going to the cross and taking it on Him. And defeated death. And triumphed over it. And was resurrected with power. Sitting in the throne of heaven. Having a righteousness that He can cover us all with. And all we can do is make a choice to believe it. And walk in it. And He gives you everything else. Hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That comes from Him. Amen. So by conforming ourselves to the Word is believing the Gospel. Believing the Gospel and trusting in it with all your heart. And that's a choice. And He's the one that gives you the new man. He's the one that gives you His Spirit. He's the one that gives you His love. He's the one that gives you His grace. He's the one that gives you the victory. So if He's given us that, let's take it and let's run with it. Amen?
Tough room this morning. I hearken back to, I don't know if it's anybody else in here that watched King of the Hill, but Hank ran into his high school football coach. And his high school football coach would run the kids ragged. And one of them, you know, limped the sideline. He'd tell them, take a salt tablet, walk it off. That was his, that was the length and breadth of his treatment for whatever ailed the kids. You know, now the team doctor is a pharmacist. But we come here on Sunday mornings to put off all that stuff and to seek the Lord and praise Him and worship Him and honor Him. And we've had a lot of instruction about, and I was just looking at Colossians again, and you know, Colossians really nails it. But when you get to a place where what you're living your life for is to serve Him, to please Him, then He can commit to you all of the whys. And not only that, but you trust Him to, that you're going to know what you need to know. But you like, yeah, you have to be able to demonstrate not just faith, but faithfulness. And then he's able to manifest that out of Romans 8, which is, you know, he who denied not his only Son, how would he not with him give you all things? Did you get this straightened out? Then this gets straightened out. And how you treat one another, and how good you think of yourself as being, you actually walk in humility and please the Father, and good things come out. And that's just, it's one of those truths. It's true for everybody at all times and every place. It's just true. And the Lord's good. I was looking. Let me go to the Colossians I was looking at instead of just making a tease. Let's start in 3:5, which, you know, is after my favorite run of Colossians, but that's okay. Set your affections on things that are above. Run. And this is really the instruction manual of how to please the Lord. This is what it takes. 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Boy, that's easy for me to say. How many syllables are in that word? For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye know, now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's quite an assumption. How many of us are acting like we've put off the old man with all those deeds? I mean, Paul knew what he was talking about, but that's really a choice. Am I going to be like I was yesterday or 15 years ago? Am I going to be like he commands me to be today? Do I want to please him? Or is it still all about me? Is he Lord or am I Lord? If I turn over the key of my car to Philip and say, "Here, Philip, and a few months later, when he comes home in my car, which is now not mine, it's his. I just gave him the keys and said, "Here." If I come back and take that car, take the car back, I never really let go of it, did I? If I've turned my life over to the Lord, it's his. If Philip put up enough of a struggle, Philip is a bad example, because Philip would do whatever I told him to do. If I gave him the car, he'd be fine. If I took the car back, he'd be fine. So that's not a really good example. But if you turn your life over to the Lord, it's his. It's his life to live, not yours. He's the Lord of it. Sometimes I think we lose track of that. I know I do. I wake up every morning going, "Lord, if this is your body, you need to fix it." But I digress. I went off the rails here on verse 9. Verse 9 again. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. That's the other thing. You replace one with the other. And that again is a choice. I go to quote a 2 Corinthians, I believe it says, I'm going to paraphrase this, not a quote. So I'm not looking at it now at the moment. Don't know exactly where to go for it. But it says, all things have become new. When you receive Jesus Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's replacing you with Him. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Why do you put on the new man? It's so it can be renewed in knowledge after Him. Knowledge. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. You're supposed to be being recreated into His image. And that's my hope. Every time I pass a reflection, like a mirror or something shiny, I keep hoping that I'm being recreated into His image and not mine. Mine scares me every time I look. I know there's probably some amens online. But the next verse is about God's not a respecter of persons again. He's going to treat everybody the same way. Christ is all and in all. It's all about Him. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also, in italics, do ye. Do that. Do the same thing. If you need grace and mercy, you're going to want to have given it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And let the peace of God rule. I did skip one, didn't I? Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Boy, it looks like I said that just like I had never said that word before. Which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be thankful. Because this is about where we're going. This is about what we're becoming. You know, this isn't a hammer to the head, man. He's stroking you with a felt glove here. This is good stuff. The peace of God rules in your heart. You're really set free. You're not at war with Him anymore. You're not resisting Him, and He doesn't have to resist you anymore. And that's a good thing. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, the more you do that, you really do seal the bond with each other. Doesn't just become, yes, this is somebody I like hanging around. You become partakers in fellowship with Him. And what does the Word say? Wherever two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. That's what Jesus said. That becomes a special and personalized individual relationship that you two and Him have. And you can't have it by yourself. It's unique and wholly personal. It's how the Word of Christ dwells in you all. Now, of course, that's not to dispatch personally seeking the Lord and the Word. It's just a special relationship you can't get by yourself. And then we get to, did I get all the way through 16? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. It's hard to stay off the rails when you're doing that with one another. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And that's where I wanted to get to. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That means the stuff you like to do and the stuff you didn't like to do. You should be thankful. You thank Him. Praise You, Lord. You're good to us. And that's just a choice you make. Because He is worthy. And He's right, and I'm not. I'll move down to where He says the same thing in a different way, and this is verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. This again is the choice that as you do it, whether you're doing it at work or children, you're doing the will of your parents. When you're doing it heartily as unto the Lord, you're going to please whoever you're doing it for. Assuming that you know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, and you think you're doing it heartily as unto Him, there's no telling what it's going to look like. If you know the Lord and you do whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Because, you know, men's reaction to that may be all over the place. Yeah, I mean, you can't really depend on it, but the Lord's is right. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And the other side of that, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. You don't get out of that because you were somebody. You might have been a well-respected man, but you don't get out of it. The 24 and 25 are there because God is faithful. Hey, it doesn't matter what a dirtbag you were. If you can choose to do whatsoever you will as unto Him, and He can be set free to reward And the reward, amongst other things, is I can go to Philippians. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. It's all good. It's all good. The reward is he doesn't have to treat you like a servant anymore. He can treat you like a friend. A friend he trusts to do his will. The first few chapters of John, it says many believed in the area he was preaching, but he committed himself to no one. When he commits himself to you, and you turn your life over to him, and it's about loving and serving and pleasing him, and you can know him, and he can be your friend. And friends know what their friends are doing. How good is that? All right, that was my diversion back into Colossians. Colossians is so good. Where am I going next? I want to go to 1 Peter 5. Briefly. Let's see how briefly I can make it. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I have a little dealy by the word ready. It says willing. I don't know what you call that thing. Of a willing mind. Which is an interesting term. It means your will is to please him. That is your desire. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Not just because you get off being in charge and being somebody who hands out the word, but because you live it and you do it. But that's what elders in the body, that's what they do. They feed the flock. They should. If they're not, they're no different than, they're just old. They're no different than anybody else. Their parents are older than their children, and they feed them both food and the word. They should be. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and gives grace to the humble. I've heard that somewhere before. Where would I have heard that before? Well, I got a little cheat sheet thing here on the page. It says it's Proverbs 3:34, and that may be the case, but it's also James 4, somewhere down in there, like 12 or 13 or something like that. How many witnesses do you need of the truth? If you feel like God's resisting you, then you might ought to want to humble yourself. Not think so highly of yourself. Verse 6. Gee, I was already there, wasn't I? Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It's let him take care of the rewarding. It's not required of us to see to it that we get the just desserts. And thank God, we don't get what we deserve. There again, we think too highly of ourselves. I know if I got what I deserve, I'm toast. But that's a choice. Humble yourself. When you do that willingly and trust him to take care of rewards, that, you know, sets you free. You're in a competition to see how, with yourself, to see how much better today you can please him than you did the day before. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He loves you. He's good. Cast those burdens on him. Take a thought pill and walk it off. He's good for you. Thought pill might not be. He loves you. And that's just part of the benefit of making the right choices. The right choices. Humble yourself. Feed the flock. And you can cast all your care upon him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so many times we set him up. We put the ball on the tee for him. We give him space. If you're busy doing all this, you're not going to be letting that ball get on the tee for him to hit so easily. That adversary, verse 9, that adversary whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's out there seeking whom he may devour, whether they're here in the camp or out there. He's after them. That's what he does. He comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. So don't present your body to him and hand him a knife. I mean, good grief. Stop setting him up. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I tell you what, that's good stuff. I'm still looking, but I haven't seen much that wasn't good stuff in here. It's all good stuff. It all tells you how to please the Lord. And how, when you turn loose of the reins, then He's free to impart everything to you that He wants you to have. And He wants you to have what it takes to please Him further. To serve Him and love the brethren. That's all it's about. And you know, it is presumed that everybody inside here is seeking to do those things in here. But you are what you are when you go out there. And close those doors behind you. That's what you are. You know, my prayer is that we all get this right. So how this is with each other and everybody else is something that'll astonish everybody that sees it.